The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
Please be seated. Thank you. We're going to share from our hearts this morning. I'm sure our marriage is officially a teenager. Is that not what? According to them, because we don't know he's an adult now. Adult changes. And the plane is a different ball game. I'm going to share, we're going to share something very instructive, maybe from what we prayed. When we got married, the MC in our second traditional marriage reception made a statement. It's a contradictory commentary. It was a banker getting married to a pastor. And it was this week I discovered that many people, even Bishop Bismarck was a banker. And another person who is his friend, who met, I've seen him before, Bishop Sitima, who is a pastoring one of the largest churches in Botswana, was a banker too. There's something about these people. And Bishop Bismarck told me, he said that was the message that day. I said it was fantastic. He said, you know, it's very hard to please bankers. Amen. And how many of you were here that day? If you were not here, maybe because you were somewhere else, genuinely somewhere else. Because some people were not genuinely somewhere else. You are genuinely somewhere else, you get the message. Just listen to it. I want you to greet them.
I greet you in the name of Jesus.
Okay. In Luke chapter 1, verse 30 to 38, it said, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child. Oh, sorry. We're looking at, verse 30. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him. And you are to give him the name Jesus. It will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob, and forever his kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel. Since I'm a virgin, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. I'm the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may it be to me as you have said. And the angel left her. Matthew 1, verse 18 to 25 says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with a child through the Holy Spirit, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he has considered it, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because of what is conceived in her. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Today we want to talk about practical steps to thriving in marital relationships. And that's why she's up here. For everything, I will share my perspective, then she will share her own perspective. Amen? Amen. And what will marriage that thrives look like? What is it going to look like? Because we're in the year of thrive, and we believe that everything born of God grows. And everything that is healthy will grow. But it's not only going to grow, it's also going to change. Amen? Everything that is healthy grows, and everything that grows also changes. That means that there are some things you are doing right now that will also change because you are growing. I tell people every time, every growth is rewarded with pruning. Either bad pruning, the Bible says, if a tree does not do well, you cut it away. But if a tree also is productive or fruitful, you prune it more. That is still cutting. Am I making sense? And so for more growth. And I just want to share some things with us because I feel that we are in a season where everything, and we have been praying about it, that marriages will thrive here, relationship will thrive. And that even the homes, the families, this morning I was praying very well for the families here represented, husbands and wife, and their homes, that they will begin to thrive. I can tell you many principles, but if you live by principles, you have many conflicting principles in your life. Many conflicting principles. If you read through Bible, there are so many conflicting principles, and that's why in Deuteronomy 28, it says, if you diligently hearken to my voice. The first one I want to share with you is that the choice to marry anyone should be done in community. The choice to marry anyone. Dr. Ralph Holland was here from Dallas, Texas some years ago, and he made a statement. He said, there are two choices that are very important that you make. One, the choice to follow Jesus, and the next choice, who to marry. Who to marry. Most men will tell you that they wouldn't have been doing what they are doing if not for the wives they married. Especially the ones who, when you see them, you see their connection. There are some women who decided to resign, not because they wanted to resign or they were not good at what they were doing. They were good, but they looked at what their husband was doing and discovered that one person will have to give sacrifice and do that. We cannot say that should be the template for everybody. But the choice to marry, most young people here are here, sometimes you go and bring somebody and you will tell people to come and clean the person for you so that you can marry the person. You see, the Bible says in Matthew 1:18, this is how the birth of Jesus came. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be a child through the Holy Spirit. The mother was pledged. The translation says she was betrothed. In the betrothal ceremony, it's not in the Jewish culture, it's about two families coming together. And most of the influences that we have here are from the Western world. And all they tell you is that if you feel about somebody, just marry the person. It doesn't matter what another person says about the person. When somebody becomes attractive to you, you don't no longer see the person's weaknesses anymore. And that's why I tell people three decisions you should not make alone. One, the decision of who to marry. Two, the decision of the career to pursue. And the decision of the place to live. These are decisions that will be carried in community. I remember when I was going to marry my wife, and there was this thing. I had to meet many people. Most of the men of God that I knew them independently of her. Because why? God just helped me because I was told to go and market schools and churches. So I had friends, I had bishops. Reverend Mobude sent a delegation to our wedding. The bishop and his wife of Spirit and Life Bible Church sent a dedication. My wife did not know them. Many others. They brought gifts because I met them independently, and I was asking. Bishop Chibundu was here. My wife knew her independently more than I knew her. And one day he looked at me and said, "How did you meet her? Because it didn't connect. I know you. It's not this type of person you should meet. And why?" And the last person I asked was my lecturer. I wish I had the picture, because when my wife was dressing up that day, she was at the background with the glasses. And she was my lecturer in university. And she told me, said, "If you want to marry, I believe this woman should be, because everything that would be settled." I remember I would drive to her house then. She was living in Zion Uniben. Which quarter now? That university lecturer quarter that is upstairs. It's upstairs. And that was when I would drive to her media, and she would tell me, say, "You see, this lady, anything that will happen, everything will be settled by the word of God." In Genesis 2, 22 to 23, it said, "And the Lord God made a woman from the rib he has taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man." He brought her. Most people bring for themselves. Can you allow the community? Because you see, yes, last week, when Bishop Bismarck said the will of God very hard. But I believe it's not so hard, because it's very hard. What he's saying is right, because you don't know the person to marry. There are different things. There is a safety net in his voice and in the people you meet. Even if you miss his voice, in the multitude of counsel. So how do you know God's will? You know God's will by being in community. Because when you cannot hear, somebody will hear for you. I'm telling you. And that's why the Lord's Prayer is not "My Father who art in heaven." He's our Father. That means that you cannot really say that prayer if you are not in community. You see, individualism was put in our ways by reason of Hollywood. And this is now, "Then the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, so shall she be called woman, for she was taken out of man." Maybe I'll allow my wife to share her own perspective concerning the choice to marry anyone. Maybe how did she marry me? Maybe she...
While Dr. Ben was talking, my mind was going to how did I even agree to marry him? It dawned on me that God didn't appear to me to say to me who this is the person to marry. I didn't have a dream. I didn't see a vision. I didn't hear. Most times it's easier to hear for someone when it has to do with decision, that especially when your emotions are already inside it. And well, the community I was a part of at the time accepted him on the conditions that there were some things he was bringing. But when he himself checked and maybe stopped bringing that thing, that same community rejected that offer. So the support net I had at that particular point in time was broken. And then I had the voices of several men who wanted to marry me. One of them was working with British Airways and had told me, "At least you are sure that you and your family will go to England anytime and don't pay. And you won't have to pay the flight." And I had this guy who was coming from Abuja who trades on diamonds. And then there were people in church who became very committed to the vision, who were very committed. In fact, when we come for leaders' meeting, one of them will stand up and say, "This thing God told you to do, he has explained it to me." So all those distractions were there. Would I want to marry someone who I felt had understood the vision, of course. Would I want to marry someone who works in British Airways so that me and my people will be flying? Of course. Whether you like it or not, they won't like it. That is, let's to tell you the truth. You know who they put salt or sugar? You say no, na bitter leaf you want. All those offers are there. And then the person who was selling diamond, we became friends. Oh no, I the diamond naka. Is we or even new? I was seeing all this wealth. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now I had a receptionist, may her soul rest in peace. When Pastor Ben was coming, he had this very old Volvo that he comes in, my house was there. Once he entered, you're hearing zoom. Even that, she was close to me. She said to me, "Send banka data or data." He said, "This one didn't enter." Do you understand? And at the time, at the risk, without sounding insulting, my car was better than his own. So, and all other people I have seen looked better. But Papa Chidume said, "This one is the one that is the best." So I just tell Papa Chidume, say, "Why be saying about bad things? Now he didn't accept." You understand what I'm talking about? And Papa Chidume stood his ground. He got angry. I got angrier. He asked me, "What is?" I said, "I've been running from poverty since. I'm about to run out." And then he was working at the bank. And most of the time, because he's always on the run, he's always moving. He will travel today, come tomorrow, travel. Most of his things were in his boot. Sorry. All that was working for me. And then when we started talking, he had two girls that were on his case. And I said to myself, Papa Shume used to give someone good advice. But this is the bad advice that I was giving. And I didn't like something about Pastor Ben. He used to pose too much. It was after we even married that I discovered that the suit was Okrika suit. The day, it was just a boy. I hated. Chichi, I should keep quiet. Well, people like Pastor Mercy them liked him. People like Angoli liked him. I was looking at him. I said, "What am I going to marry?" Okay. He dresses well, but are we going to be eating dress? He refused to tell me how much they were paying him. There was nothing, at least, come on, you understand? Let me show that. Sincerely, I didn't hear from God. God is my witness. I didn't see. But when all the people who accepted said, "Didn't accept again," it was only Papa Chidume. Papa Chidume said, "I can die for this." That's when I even went to pray. And then I said, okay. I had peace. I said, okay, Papa Chidume, if anything goes wrong, I will hold you responsible. Ladies and gentlemen, that decision I made, the people who were in church, many of the mothers felt that this was a good decision. For me, I was looking at the indicators that girls will look at. But he was fine. He was dressed well. But he didn't want to show me how much he was owing. Maybe he wanted me to make a decision based on revelation. Looking back, that's the best decision I've made in life. For those who care to hear, everything we have in Firm Foundation turned like this because of him. If you care to hear. I tell him, your message is so simple. Sometimes you're satirizing the society. However, we're using Pastor Ben's messages now to create a consultative dialogue that we'll be using for democracy and governance. Most of the things he has said many years ago, many of them are coming to pass. Not only are they coming to pass, we are now using them as templates for the NGOs that we're working on. We're working on high scales. Of course, we have some things to do with international bodies. We're heading to Qatar in 2 or 3 weeks' time based on our NGO. But it is all his wisdom and his plans. 3 years after I got married, the person who was selling diamond had to call me to apologize. Actually had HIV and needed someone who was anointed to sleep with, because he was told that that would destroy the virus in his body. So when I escaped that, then he had to come call back to. By then, I was already very happy. Make him say, "Budala, no." I went to meet Pastor Ben. I said, "Thank you for marrying me." So when they say make that decision in a community, we're talking from experience. Sometimes you know the reason well. Sometimes things around you can make, you can make decision out of the poverty. At least if you're running from poverty and mistakenly run into wealth, you don't want to run back into that poverty again. So you can make decision based on your pain. You can make decision based on your wound. But the best way to make decision is to find a healthy community to make that decision. Voila.
That's 1-0. That reminds me of the thing we used to do when we were small. First to do. So you people played all these things. Okay. The marriage that is thriving is the marriage that has a different kind of arrangement. Your marriage, there are general principles for marriage, but every marriage is unique. Just like everybody does not have the same fingerprint. 7-point-something billion people on the face of the earth, nobody have the same fingerprint, not exactly the same DNA. Even if they do the DNA with your parents, it's not even 100%. Why? Because two people came together. What type of arrangement would your marriage have so that it would thrive? If you look at my marriage, to try to take everything just to copy and paste, you may even crash your marriage. You may crash it. There are women that get married to soldiers. Sometimes I tell people, I respect such women. They don't, not all the time the husband will follow them to picnic. Am I making sense? One day I told my children, I said, "You just have to get used." So my wife used to say, "You just have to get used to it that you were born in church." Because the person that sells ice cream does not go on vacation during Christmas. That means that the call that we have, I told them one day, I said, "The call that we have, I'm sorry, there are some sacrifices you need to make." And that's the truth. So if somebody is selling ice cream, the children will make sacrifices. On Christmas Day, they have to work. And they will have friends that will tell them that they were enjoying during Christmas time. And their own vacation has to do in rainy season. When ice cream business is not selling much, they can't go on. Why? Because that is the call. Same thing. There's a different arrangement. I remember when I was going to marry my wife, I told her, "You know, I'm a banker. I'll be very busy. My goal was to marry a teacher. Because my mother was a teacher." I know some of you don't want to marry teachers, a teacher, but I wanted to. I meet my mother at home. We close from school. We go together. There was a time my mother was a teacher in the same school I was. So what do I want to her? When we close, I see her. Same thing. My father, principal, teacher. So I was raised by two teachers. But really, two of us are teaching today. But what type of teaching? And the arrangement was that she will stay at home. But she doesn't stay at home much now. In fact, I stay at home more than she does. She has more invitation than I do. Why? Because there are some things that must be built. The Bible says, "Then Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her, and she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." A different kind of arrangement. A different kind of arrangement. When you are betrothed, there's no cohabitation yet. You are not staying together. And you one day the groom will come with his party to carry his groom, the bride home. Because there's this pledge. There's this pledge that I will marry this person. And so when you talked about divorce, it was not that they were already married, but that there was a commitment. And that's why, as a man, your commitment should be strong. I'm committing to marry you for life. Love is not a feeling. The moment you say, I've fallen out of love for you, it's not that, no. You chose to fall out. And when your choice is strong, the feeling will come. And that arrangement of, you see, Bishop Bismarck was saying, he said, my wife cannot cook, but she likes to clean. So I do the cooking. I'm sure some of you used to say, this is Reverend Ben. His message is just, the best chef in the world are men. And that's it. I'm not saying that you should go and tell your husband now, go to the kitchen. It's a different arrangement. Because when we say that, because I like to put caveat, you understand? There are many men that like to cook. It's your bent. Same thing. The arrangement that you are going to have is not the arrangement that puts yoke on one another. Let your wife be happy that you are the husband. Let your husband be proud to come home and to know that there's coming to a waiting home of safety. How are you going to work out that arrangement is by listening to his voice. Does it not shock you that sometimes you are right and you have to say, I'm sorry? Not because I'm sorry does not mean I'm wrong. I'm sorry may mean that you misunderstood me. I didn't communicate effectively to you. So our own marriage has a different arrangement. Our own marriage has a different arrangement. A different arrangement is that I even like to cook more than my wife. Because why? There's a wound then when she was a house help. And she would cook and bake. I'm sure she told herself, no, I won't do this thing again. Is it that she doesn't know how to cook? She knows how to cook. So what type of arrangement? You have to know what your wife, how your wife is packaged by God. And you have to pray for her and ask, how will I marry her? How will I show her love? Because most times, the principle we use is highly traditional. The Bible says you have made the word of God of no effect because of your traditions. It's not because traditions are bad. There are some traditions that are not good. Maybe when we take the next point, we'll be able to look at it. A different form of arrangement. There are many of us men that know how to take care of children more than our wives. We just know how. Why? I was raised up by a woman and a man, thank God. And we were boys. The last of three boys. My mom does not have a girl. Child. I have a sister, no doubt. But for my mom, so for 20, after I was born, we lived like that for like 20 years. So what's the role of a girl? I really do not know. Because we did everything. We cooked, we washed. My father eats pounded yam every day. So we pound, not with machine. So when you people were doing all your advert, I was looking at you. Bro. I'm not sure you give my father that type of pounded yam. And say you want to pound with machine. Yeah. And so when my mother was teaching us how to cook, my father did not agree. He rebelled and said, no, men, don't go to the kitchen. And she said, okay, show me, tell me who will help me. And so we washed cars, we cleaned, we washed, we ironed, we cooked food. And when I was doing my GS3 holiday, I was my father and my elder brother's cook because he was writing exams, and my father was in Ekpoma, so they were in Ekpoma. So I had to go and do that exam as a full-time cook. Am I making sense? And so that type of arrangement. So really, I don't know what it means. So our own marriage has, if you come to my house, you may be confused. But one of the things that should be the center of that arrangement is his voice and love. Love covers a multitude of sin. Maybe I'll let her share her perspective.
Thank you so much, Doc. We need to debunk two things. The first one is the Western Gentile mindset with which we are using to read the Bible. The Western Gentile mindset, I mean, is when Pastor spoke about the union. Let it be known to us that even if you have lived with that woman for 20 years, there is no bride price on her head. She's your girlfriend. I came back from Delta State last week, and the majority of the people we were talking to say, we have lived with this woman for 7 years, 8 years, 15 years. The woman has had 4 children in worry, and the church were saying, want a divorce, or do you want to say, so no, we're not talking about divorce. We're not talking about separate. Those things are not coming up. What we need to tell ourselves at this particular point in time is, as long as you did not obtain the permission of the girl's parents officially, if the father decides that you shouldn't pay, that's okay. But to go to take someone's child, put in your home in the name of love and romance, and the person have had children without officially obtaining the family's position on the matter, is that you have opened a door for a generational curse. Because the Bible says that a child born outside wedlock will not be able to enter the congregation for 10 generations. How long is one generation? 40. 40. 10 generations is 400 years. So what we are doing, if two of us, if we didn't obtain bride price, if he didn't obtain bride price before he began this, no matter how much you westernize it and you saw it on a movie and say that is now the way we are going, my brother, my sister, you are out of alignment with God's kingdom and purpose. Even in Africa, let's now say Ayejigi Bible, you're using Africa. In Africa, nobody allows you to just take a woman and... No. It's not done. So those of us who are doing it, we want to use this wedding anniversary to appeal to you that if you have kept someone in your house, you actually girl woman napped. I'm coming against this because where I came from some weeks back, I saw a lot of this. It's actually becoming a norm. Secondly, you now find out that a girl in the schools, in the universities, sir, you go to universities, the boy and the girl are role-playing husband and wife. It's becoming normal. No, it's mysterious nonsense. It is functioning in abnormality. And we need to stop it. If you're a covenant person, otherwise the enemy of your soul will come against you. Now, let's keep that one by the side. Number two, it took me time living with this man to stop using Ugrimba nonsense to read Bible. I want to use myself. Some people get offended. It took me time. For instance, in my place, Anakaka, it is normal to tell stories of ghost that appeared. It is normal. In fact, we see it as a normal thing. You saw a ghost. Now, when I got married to him, I carried this Akoko ghost to tell him that, do you know that someone, in fact, we were even told that if someone dies, you see the person, you put a razor blade on the person, the blood comes out, the person will live. So when my, God has said, so when my elder sister died, listen carefully, God in heaven bear me witness. I was holding razor blade, praying that one day her ghost will come out so that I can use razor blade to. And I believed it so much. God is my witness again. That one day I was sitting down in front of my father's house. A bus was passing. I saw my late sister. You don't tell me I'm hallucinating. I didn't hallucinate. I saw my late sister. In that fleet of a moment, that 1 second, I was. I couldn't even say, see. That bus passed. I ran out to look. I couldn't, people were, children, it was August meeting. We went to a broad meeting, August meeting. I couldn't tell the children who were playing. Now, that's where I'm coming from. I saw the ghost. So when I was with my husband, I was giving him this wonderful gist of that if ghosts, I believed it with all my heart. Forget that the Bible said that once a man dies, after that come judgment. That's what the Bible said. But that didn't feel real in my mind. The one that is it that you can see ghosts. Many of my cousins have shared the gist of how they saw God, but nobody has been able to put razor blade. So one day I was telling him this. He listened carefully. Where in Onitsha, ghost was selling groundnut. And he was listening. And I felt that at least for once, I have won his beliefs. I said, the person who knew the person now came. The person disappeared. I turned to him. He said, that's a beautiful story. What now happened to the groundnut? I became angry. This time I became angry. I said, this thing that I've been telling you for the past how many years, you have not accepted it. But thinking about it now from the Bible, who even brought that mindset? So if you take it in our marriages, most times, we are marrying someone, but the Bible you are using to marry this person is in your hand. But the brain you are using to marry the person is a broad meeting, August meeting brain. So you come to the place, Pastor Ben preaches something, he's coming against your beliefs. And people do everything to protect their beliefs. As he's preaching, you just put something like this. You're not doing it purposely. Because you're protecting your stronghold. That place is coming is your stronghold. You don't feel safe with what he's saying. Because all your life, you have seen your father, you have seen your mother do this thing. Whether it's right or wrong, it's not important. The point is that you saw that it worked for them. For instance, it's thunder comes now. We fight later. I remember Pastor Mercy when she was growing with us. When she finishes singing, I would see her beside crack wall. She would think, she has done it for a very long time. So even sometimes when she said, my throat is cracked, I said, just find crack wall. Now Pastor Ben comes into the scene. Say, what are you doing? He said, I'm looking for crack wall so I can clear my throat. Pastor Ben say, crack wall. Broken. Crack wall. He said, who taught you? He said, my mother. She has been doing it. She was even the one that taught me this. Now, Pastor Ben says, what's the science behind it? Now, what are you expecting us to do? This is our stronghold. He said, you don't ever believe something. We held that belief until we saw that it's a belief that is rooted in nothing. Most times, the mindset with which we are marrying our husbands and the mindset with which we are marrying our wives are obuni and amok mindset. Honestly speaking. So when someone is coming against it, it's a bit difficult. So at this anniversary, you might need to think through those. I have been professional in everything except the things that someone's supposed to be professional. I was a professional house help. Professional house help. My madam was a professional caterer, trained in the U.S., came back, and most times she does these heavy contracts for government circles. Mrs. Maria Ihedewa. And when Sam Okwaraji died, we were the one that took the contract to decorate the stadium. Listen carefully. And When we start cooking, we can do cooking for 3 days, and then you have to keep awake and stand. And then not only is she a caterer, she also makes cake and all of that. That is on a large scale. That's what I did for the first 15 years of my life, and she was very, very, very hard, strong woman. All right? If you put all that together, I was a professional dry cleaner. One of the first things I used to do is I was a decorator. When Ibinedion used to do his birthdays, I was the one that used to take the contract to do the balloon decoration and all of that. Anguli was leaning under me. The fact about it is, there are many things that has happened to people that you don't know. When husband and wife are not friends, you are not able to go into the intimate things about the other person to be able to find out why this person behaves the way the person behaves. There's a reason why people behave the way they do. There's a reason why. I might not sing well, but when you don't sing well, I know you're not singing well. I know about fine dining and all of that, and all of that put together. But we must come to a point where we're saying, who is this person I married? And stop using the template your father used to marry your mom, to marry your wife, or your mother used to marry your father. You know why? We can go further if we drop all those first templates. The first 5 years of our lives was taught war. He came to a point that Pastor Ben said, I think this thing is not working. Let's divorce. And then we had firm foundation at our hands. So we planned something. He said, we'll just secretly walk away. Just tell the church and we've gone overseas to read. So I was ready for that. I said, at least we'll have peace. Then Papa Chidume comes from nowhere again. And says, see this thing? Two of you must make it work. So what we are doing is, I look at him. Many of you think it's not hard on me. He did something to me now. I was outside. I was trying to get my hair ready to come in. He just walks in. He's just passing. Nobody saw him. He heard what he said. He said, I just wonder why you'd be doing your hair inside. And he was stern and firm. And when people do that, what would you do to them? This is wrong. It shouldn't happen. Then he passes. I got the message. I just went in, carried my things. I'm running to the church. And he said, don't you know it's my wedding anniversary? Don't you know I'm Pastor K? No. But if you're Pastor K, you're Pastor K for yourself. This is your husband. Thank you.
Okay, 1-1. We will now win the Grand Slam. But let's take the marriage that we drive must embrace the message of the kingdom and the pursuit of freedom. We must embrace the message of the kingdom. The message of the kingdom is anti the message of the word. When God took Israel away from Egypt was like a betrayal and a marriage ceremony called the Ketubah. And he delivered them not because he gave them rules first. He delivered them because of his love for them. And when he delivered them, he said, now I've delivered you. Are you ready for this marriage? And the Ten Commandments and His command, we are the thing that you write in the covenant of the Ketubah, which is that marriage ceremony. And they said they were willing to take it. But the Bible said most times they abandoned the covenant. And it broke God's heart. Because he didn't want to control them with the rules of those things. What he gave them was what we make them to be free. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, he said, I'm the Lord your God that took you out of bondage. He didn't say, I'm the Lord your God that created you. He said, I'm the Lord your God that took you out of bondage. Then he began to reel out the miracles. What was he saying is that if you follow these things, you won't go back to bondage. So the Torah, the instructions of God, is different from the nomos. The nomos is the law of sin and death. That's what we are delivered from. You must understand that it is time for us to understand that every man marrying a woman is not about being in dominating the woman, no. Or the woman, because today we now find out, even in Western world, the women dominate the men. They dominate the men. And let me tell you, it's not new. It's in the Bible. So when Apostle Paul was saying, let the women be quiet, he wasn't talking to all the women. Because there was a time Apostle Paul said, there's neither male nor female. He was writing. He was writing to the Greek women. Because they were Greek goddesses. And when they were giving their life to Christ and coming into the church, they wanted to bring that influence that you as the man should submit to him, to me. That's why Apostle Paul said, let them be quiet. And it was written to the Cretans and the church in Corinth. So that letter was not supposed to be read in the church in Rome. We must pursue that. In Matthew 18, 18 to 19, he said, verily I say unto you, what things soever ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever ye shall lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is a wrong, like a loose translation, but the thing is that whatsoever has been loosed in heaven is loosed on earth, and whatsoever has been loosed, bound in heaven is the one that is supposed to be bound on earth. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, that they shall ask, and it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. The best place to have agreement is in marriage. And that's why the enemy wants to fight two of you. For you not to agree. So, the Bible says, and he told them in the garden, you are free to eat. How come that when you marry that man, he's no longer free anymore? How come when you marry that woman, she's no longer free anymore? It's a pursuit of freedom. People should be around you and be free to be who they are. In fact, in the freedom, and in this our environment is a grace environment. It's a culture of grace. And I see a lot of sin coming up. It comes faster. In a religious institution, the highest hider of his sin is the most perfect. But when you create a free environment in your home, you will know what's inside your wife. You will know what's inside your husband because it rises faster to the surface. And how do you create this environment? Is to create the environment of love. The Bible says, where the presence of the Lord is, there is what? No, say it very well. There is? In another dimension, there is freedom. Can you handle when your wife is free? When your wife is free, there are a lot of messes. And if you can't practice it, then you can't practice freedom for your children. Because that's when some of you, when you get out of home, you finish secondary school and go to university, then your true color comes out. And some people will tell you, oh, he was very good at home. Is this school? No, school. School did not spoil him. School created the enabling environment. How come your wife is very happy when you travel? It's a problem. Or your husband is very happy when you travel. Who is calling you? Let me see. You wake up at night, you start going through the phone. Then you tap him. Explain. You see, there's no hiding. Neither am I saying you should now begin to lock your phone and when your phone rings, you jump out of the bedroom. You will soon fall. I'm telling you. There is nothing to hide. And when you fall in the bedroom, it's a disaster. In the pursuit of freedom, there's no suspicion. There's no suspicion. And for us men, I like to tell, my wife was asking me, I said, why does Tudor Bishma always talk about his wife? I said, it's protection policy. It's a protection policy. Most men do not know that. Let me tell you. I see fine girls. So. You see fine girls. You know why many men do not enjoy the favor of God? When you want to enjoy the favor of God, mind how you treat the daughter. There is no man that you treat the daughter well, he will not give you favor. Your wife should be missing you when you are not at home. And when I travel, my wife can't sleep. That's the only time she reads at night very well. Why? I've used my juju to craft her brain. There's just that sense of peace when you come home. There's that sense of peace when she will talk about the woman's perspective. I'm just talking about my own perspective. There's that sense that when you get to that place when you are leaving the home, your wife wants to cry. Because there's that just arrangement of, can I make this woman to be free? What she has never been in her father's house, she will be here because I married her. I remember those days I told my wife, I said, you will be so good that when you stand amongst men, they will not see any defect, no difference. And so that pushing. Today I'm a John Maxwell coach because the first book my wife gave me, two books she gave me, were three in one books of John Maxwell. One this thing. Then he bought a book for me called So You Call Yourself a Man by T.D. Jakes. Why? It's just that every woman wants their husband to be a champion. And sometimes the pushing may not be that they hate you, but just that they just see something. You know, women can see something that we cannot see. A woman can look at a girl just saying bye-bye and say, that girl likes you. Say, how did you know? Is it not bye-bye, she said? Okay, bye-bye. But there's just that tendency. You must embrace her because she's your covering. And sometimes it may not make sense. Can you be more forgiving as a man and keep no records? If you keep any record, then you create another arrangement. There's no freedom. Can you remember? You know, God does not forget. No. He chooses to forget. Forgetting is a choice. Forgive your wife, forgive her, treat her like a child. The day you give, for me, my wife is a teenager now. She has been a child for the past 17 years. Why? I tell men, the day you marry your wife, she's just a day old with you. She was somebody's daughter. Now it's now time for you to start telling her your vision. The problem is that most of us as men do not have a vision for ourselves. And you say, help me. Say, okay, I want to help you. What will I do? Your help. Anything you see, do. And so every time you begin to craft for her again, this is where I'm going. These are my values. These are the things I need. Those are the things I do. And listen to me. If you have had, maybe there's a divorce or something, let me tell you, God is redemptive. So it's not about putting shame on you or maybe you have remarried. No. God has a redemption plan. He can restore. Am I making sense? So that we are not putting that burden. Same thing. When you have this arrangement, it's going to work also in your parenting. Maybe I should allow her to share her perspective before.
Thank you, Dr. Ben. So I will put it in five places. Can we have more men who pray? It's 15 minutes, 10 minutes a day. It regulates the temperature of the family. A man who can open the Bible and read the Bible. A man who can listen to the word. Your children hear you listening to the word of God. It has a way of regulating the temperature of the family. There's something that happens to children when they see their father lift up his hands, worshiping God. There's something that happens to them. We women, those of us who are women, we don't have such power like the men to do that to our children, even to our generation. There's something that happens in this church when you see men lifting hands, dancing for the Lord. There is something that happens to the children. There's something that happens to the people. Because every man here has such respect and honor for another man. That man you see as a demigod, as a godfather. You see the person dancing and throwing himself on the floor for God. You find out that it influences you somehow. That's number one. We were told that women are supposed to be the prayer warriors. I continue to believe it until the 9 months of my pregnancy. There was a time during the pregnancy that I'm not as strong as I'm supposed to be. And then I had my spiritual father telling my husband that at this particular point in time, it means that you must understand that you must also carry the spiritual weight of the family. God told the men to be the ones that will apply the blood on the lintel, not their wives. So you are the priest of your home. If there is prayer altar in your home, you are the one that will initiate it. Your wife will support. It's easier. See, whether we like it or not, the atmosphere around the home respects and honors the man. Somehow, even if you're if you understand what you're doing as a wife, if you understand what you're doing, you have this respect and honor for your husband. The same respect and honor you have for your father. You have the same respect and honor you have for your husband. So we need to have husbands who have spiritual intelligence, who are spiritually mature, so they can begin to bring the kind of temperature that is in heaven on earth. Number two, we want to talk about, I have seen him do these things. Sometimes I see the way he will worship, the way he will take his own morning prayers. It motivates me, and it's easier to tell everybody at home, let us worship. Number two, most people, sex have left your house. How? Some people have not had sex 2 years, 3 years. I'm serious. 3 years. It means that you have opened your family up to secundus. It has opened the family up to satanic attack. Because the way God, I'm not even talking about the woman, the slave queen by the side. I'm talking about the spiritual principle that your husband's sex life is opened up to demonic attack. We're not asking you to do what we don't do. Some of us are able to do sex every day. We don't do every day. In fact, if you notice, the men, you can give the man a match for his strength. Because they are the ones, most of them are the ones that pass out first. So don't stress yourself. Keep the family at peace. Return sex. Sex is a form of worship. Return sex to the family. You shouldn't be quarreling about sex. No, he's good. He's very good. We shouldn't be quarreling. That's a problem. Sex shouldn't be causing us quarrel at all. You know, I like to interject a joke. My son came out of the bathroom. I told him, I don't want to see anything. I don't want to see. Yeah, we'll turn it over. I don't want to see anything. He said, but you're always with daddy. I say, meaning. He said, it means you see daddy. I say, it's my husband. I say, you are my son. I don't want to say, it's okay, don't worry, one day I will also marry. My wife will be seeing everything. I say, that's for you. Let's return sex to the home. Because we are the ones that will let the world know that the gospel works. It's not just by the preaching. They will see from how we live in our homes. How can they be quarreling? Husband and wife are quarreling about sex. Give me, you know, give me. Then you also quarreling about sex. It doesn't make sense. You now look as if Jesus is, do you understand? That's, let's bring back sex to the home. We have to have integrity in our homes. It is an abomination for you or your wife to be having an affair. How do we tell the people there who don't go to church that the gospel works? If the man who doesn't go to church is battling with adultery, and then you also, you come to church every Sunday, you are also battling with adultery. It means that your God could not help, cannot help you. That's what they're trying to. If you see so many videos of pastors coming out now, you know what they're trying to say? Very simple. What they are preaching is not working for them. So if the gospel works, we shouldn't have you committing adultery. I came from a polygamous home. The worst thing that can happen to you is for you to repeat that. If you repeat it in this time, it won't be good for you. All right? Then the next thing I want us to look at is, I don't like fake people. People who are not themselves. Some of us, you have perfected the act. You have perfected the act of being fake. That you don't, it's difficult now to be who you are. Don't pretend to us that things are working between you when things are not working. Because the day the under will fall off, it will really fall off. Don't wear uniform and hold hands. And all of us will think that two of you are Romeo and Juliet. Listen, there are times to cry out. And if you're a man, there's nobody to report you to. You are a god. You are a god. Just one. Your wife cannot run anywhere. There are no perfect husbands. There are no perfect wives. That's why we even show you where we're not doing it well, so you can know that we are not perfect. There must be someone that your wife can cry out to, and your husband can cry out to, and you will, before you even hear the thing, you have adjusted yourself. Even God, Abraham corrected him. Abraham rebuked God. I don't like fake people. Let's throw fake things out of our lives. Throw away fake accent. If you want to have accent, go to school and learn how to get it. Don't put an accent. When you see us, all of us are speaking accent, guess which, eh? Then the last one is, our marriages is a convincing testimony to the cynical world. People are saying that heterogeneous relationship does not work anymore. And they say, let them show you what will work. They say, how many sexes do we have in the world? How many sexes do we have? Plenty. No. Originally, when the world started, it was only two. Now it's 100. 100 sexes. That is 100 sexes. 100, that is. You decide, I don't want to be a man. I don't want to be a woman. I don't also want to be transgender. I want to be something else. You can now go. They'll help you create something completely different. So if that is the case, those of us who are married, thank you, Jesus, we must do everything that our family will become a testimony that Jesus is alive. I want to talk to women. Sometimes we forget that being submissive does not mean being a cake. Many women, unconscious, they say we are in the 21st century. Therefore, we have taken that part of the Bible, deleted it, and thrown it away. Being submissive came from the mouth of God. Sometimes I want to travel. My husband has accepted I will travel. When the time comes, he says, you won't go. I'll just carry my bag back into my house. Sometimes I will negotiate. I will travel. Sometimes he will refuse from the beginning at all. You're not going. So when that happens, remember that severally they have also allowed you to travel freely. This time they say, don't travel. It isn't supposed to cause war. Women, you are the neck. If you know how to play your game, you can control the head. If you know how to play your game. But you don't control the head with power. You control the head with your knees and with a lot of wisdom. There is a way to talk to a man. So the man says, where is my food? And then you go, I'm not sure you attend Femme Foundation. The thing Papa have been teaching us about marriage, I have succeeded, before I got married, I have succeeded in being professional home manager. Every woman must find a way to mobilize people who can help you in doing the thing you have been told to do. Yeah. See, you have three balls. Wife, family, yourself. Three balls. Yourself. You. You are someone's wife.
You are someone's mother. You can't drop any ball. And for you not to drop any ball, you must find a way to have healthy relationship of those who can help you to do this job of taking care of your husband, taking care of your children, and taking care of yourself. If you are the kind of woman where you cook the food and your sister-in-law enters the kitchen and take meat, say, "Huh? My kitchen, you came and took meat." You are living in 2024. How much is the meat that will cost? Sometimes I hear, he said, my mother-in-law came to my house. He now went to the kitchen and then he collected fried rice and ate. And I'm looking at you. I say, well, this thing we're touching, fried rice. How many pots did she take? Even if she took all. Bata, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Even if she stays, she will still go back to her mom. How can a pot of fried rice be causing? Come on, women, let's wake up.
Thank you. I'm sure we are okay today. Wait for the second session. And I believe we just is today was a rambling to just share some of the things we looked at. I like to tell men, get the world needs faithful Josephs and faithful Marys. You're a faithful Joseph, you're a faithful Mary. What God has told you that your family will do on earth, I don't know. But I must advise you men that are here, what has worked for me is that I had a coach. Don't be a self-made man. Every man is a coach. You may think you are doing marriage well, but you're not. There's something. What is making you is there's something you really want to bring out, but there are obstacles that will not want to make you. I know some men want to love their wives, but some things are blocking the way for you to think you cannot. It takes you to go in and see. That's why I don't like a veiled system. There was a time I went to stay with Baba Chidume for 1 week just to see how he does marriage. Can I say something to you from Niger Delta? Most men in this region are very proud. Especially when the money starts coming. The money and the position, nobody can talk to you anymore. Nobody. And the Bible says pride. God resists the proud. When you mean resist, that means that heavens will be closed. And when heaven is closed, there's nothing you can really do. Sometimes I want to humiliate myself on purpose and do the dirty, the menial work. You know why? I'm not God. I want to listen. Bishop Tudor looked at me and said, your family looks like my own. And I just wanted him to pray for me because I just love the way he loves his wife. And one of the greatest things that will happen to you in life is when you love your wife. Doors that were not open before will start opening. Adultery destroys the very foundation and the fabric of the home. That's why God says don't do it. You will just begin to walk in disfavor. You will meet fake people that will tell you, they won't tell you the truth. I can't tell you what has happened to me because I met my wife. And it doesn't matter who opens the door. Please don't be jealous of your wife. God brought her to help you. So there are some doors she will open. And please, wives, don't make your husband to be jealous. You see, there's one thing she wrote that she didn't say. Money. Have a different arrangement for your money. Don't have separate purse. You see, and they became one. If you can share your body with your husband, and you can't share your money, it's a definition of something I don't want to say. A prostitute. If your husband has problem with money issues, report the matter to your coach. Don't hide. Every marriage needs a coach. And that's why we want people here who have been 20 years, 19, 15, 10. Get your acts together. We need you to mentor the coming generation. That's why in the Catholic Church, the priest does not counsel married people. He can say, why? Because he's not married. Who counsels them are the sponsors. But in Pentecostal, there are some of you that need to invite some young people into your house. You see, I learned marriage even from people that did not succeed in marriage. They will tell you where they missed it. And they will counsel you. So don't write off people that missed it. Say, no, you cannot advise me. You're joking. They can even advise you on how to raise children. This is a family. We must come together. I don't want a church. I don't want an institution. I want a family. If we are 20 doing life together, let's do life together. People come to my house. They stay with me, my children. I'm not sure they will tell you that I live a fake life at home. From also, counsel my spiritual father told me many years ago. He said, Ben, show your children the same life at home and the same life in church. The same. The same. Because if you don't show them that, they will take the lesser one and they will bring it lower. And so you can ask any person that have been with us and say, is this how these people live at home? So I'm not coming to hold her and we are acting. No. It's the same thing at home. Are you going to make mistakes? Yes. Have I made mistakes? Yes. I've made a lot of mistakes. Sometimes I shout and I hold myself and I say, I'm sorry. Pride does not work. Love is your goal as a man. To love and to create the atmosphere of love in that home. When you create the atmosphere of love in that home, I tell you the truth, your wife will thrive, your children will thrive. And I've seen people that have done it. Bishop Okpeolo, the founder of Reroya, he said, I've never beaten my children. So I just love them. Sometimes you think that love is weak, Abby. It's the strongest force on the earth. In Songs of Solomon, it says love is stronger than death. Rise up on your feet.
While we're closing, don't report your wife to Egbe. Don't carry your wife and submit to Egbe. Please. Even when you have forgiven her, Egbe might not remember that you have forgiven her. Please.
I want you to hold each other's hand. Let's together pray for marriages here. Let's pray for marriages here. I don't know how far this is true, but I heard it. In the lifetime of Mines Moreau, in their church, they only had 2 divorces. The premarital counsel and the way they run was so strong that it was not heard. I want to have marriages that thrive. You know why? Our children should grow up together. And who knows? We want our children to marry themselves. It's healthier. Some people think it's not, but it's healthier. Because I know you. And so if your child is misbehaving, I will correct the child because I don't know whether my daughter will fall in love with him. takes a community to raise a child. Not Egbe. Your Egbe have different values and different belief system. The only thing that can make us thrive is the word of God and his voice. Let's pray for peace in our home, for love to abound, for there to be love and respect in that home. I want you to press into that person's hand. Even if the person is not married, I pray for your future husband. I pray for your future wife. I pray that even in your relationship now, you are thriving, because that's what you will carry into your home. Come on, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Pray for the one that is married near you and say, Lord, I press into his hand a marital relationship that thrives. Marital relationship that thrives. Thank you, Father. Come and lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Bless the person. Bless the person. Bless the person. We cancel every form of attacks. We pray protection over your marriage. The older it gets, the sweeter it becomes. The older it gets, the sweeter it becomes. Come and lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. We bless you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Stretch your hands towards us. Maybe if you're married, please come forward. Even if your husband is not here, maybe he's at work or something, just come. I just believe we should pray an impartation prayer over you. Over you. You people in this church confuse people. I didn't know that almost half of the congregation are modern. You just confuse with jeans and shirt. It's not nice. Lord, I bless every man here. I'll pray for the man, and my wife will pray for the woman. Women, sorry. I bless every man here that they will have the heart of Jesus. That they will love just like Jesus loves the church and give up his life. That they will be sacrificial in their love in their wives. In the name of Jesus Christ. Give them wisdom. Bless them with wisdom. Understanding. It takes finances. Lord, I bless them with wealth. Financial breakthrough. In the name of Jesus Christ. That they will provide effectively for their families. In the name of Jesus Christ. I bless them with integrity, the good name, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Lord, we just pray your blessing over their families. Lord, one of the vows we take in this church when people marry is that your marriage, your family will be a convincing testimony to the cynical world. We pray that your marriage shall be filled with signs and wonders. May the Lord make us better mothers, better fathers, better wives, better husbands. May we begin to cure desert places together where those desert places are. We pray healing into your physical bodies, that your bodies will come in alignment at how God created it originally. And if there be inner issues that eyes cannot see that is besetting the family, we also pray God's healing power in those places. Anything that has spiritual root, we pray that God's healing power will get to those places and resolve it. And if there be any matter against any family in the courts of heaven, we pray mercy. We pray grace. We pray mercy. We pray grace in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.